Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Simcast. I'm Matt Hunter, and alongside me, as ever, is Mr. Stephen Wilkinson. Hello, Steve.
Hello. How are we?
Not wet.
Well, I've just had to trudge all the way to where I record these, and it was absolutely biblical outside, so it is wet where I am.
I can promise you now, coming from the geographical future... meteorological future, as the prevailing weather in the UK comes from my direction and heads towards Stephen on a very regular basis. Blue skies.
Blue skies are coming, aren't they?
Smiling at me, blue skies, all I see.
That's all right, that's good. You can give me blue skies for this Sunday when I... do athletics for the first time in the year.
I think you might actually get it.
That's cool. I'm going to the wonderful place of Milton Keynes. Brilliant.
MK!
The world's straightest roads.
The city's bad, MK. There's too many roundabouts, MK.
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 Too many bus lanes.
MK. I was going to do something Red Bull related, but I thought better of it. It's like you can tell I'm stalling because I'm kind of like I want to say it, but I'm just not gonna. It's too hot. Even that is too hot a potato, even for me. Well, I don't know how nice it is. I hope it's nice up there. Cause when are you in? Okay.
Sunday morning. All day.
I am in motorsport related. I am in Stoneleigh Park. On Sunday. Okay.
Where's Stoneleigh Park?
Stoneleigh Park is why is it near? Lincolnshire. It's definitely not Lincolnshire. Because I'm staying near Warwick again. Yeah.
Oh, so you're not a million miles away from me.
Kenilworth. It is in Kenilworth.
And is that ironic? I was going to say, that's ironic, because you're going up there for dog-related, aren't you?
Yeah, for now you say that, but yes, I am.
You're doing some dog-related things.
Dog-related things in a park near Coventry. Yes, I am.
Called Kenilworth.
Kenilworth. Yeah, ironically, where the Kennel Club is based.
Wow. Okay.
I know. They thought that through.
Okay, fair enough. Well, considering you're dying to tell the listeners, how did...
No. We can't do that yet.
Can we not?
No, we can't do that yet.
No, we've got other things to do. Sorry, I'm going right out of...
So out of kilter, I started too efficiently, and we have not done the things.
We haven't. So stop being efficient.
So zip. You can join us in this merry cavalcade of nonsense at Simcast Radio on Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it. Also on Threads, probably on Instagram as well, I suspect, on the old IG, and use the hashtag SimcastRSL. And also on the Radio Show Listeners Collective on Facebook, if it's working, I guess. We're all simulated. Tomfoolery. And of course, this is... See, he's highlighted it. Why is he highlighted the rude so-and-so? I think that is. Episode 11 on the 21st of March in the year of our Emperor 2024, otherwise known as
218024 of the third millennium.
I need to put like an echo effect when you do that, because that would just be so much more grimdark, wouldn't it?
It would.
It really would. Shame your voice, no offense, but shame your voice doesn't pack the gravitas to carry off the echoey grimdark effect, but...
It is M24, the third millennium.
That's Brian Blessed when he's had helium, dear listener. Otherwise known to those who are of more of a Federation leaning, that is Stardate 77686.8. Sorry. 77686.8. There we go. Well, that was fun. Now we can carry on talking about nonsense. Yes, so I'm in Kenilworth for the Toller Show this weekend.
A great Toller gathering.
It's loud.
I'm sure it will be.
If you want to understand what I get to put up... Well, actually, Riker's not that bad. Dear listener, if you'd like to understand what Tollers are capable of, please Google the Toller Scream and you will understand. And then imagine a room of nearly 200 of them.
I don't think there are that many Tollers in the country.
Yeah, there's more than you think. But not all of them show, obviously. But a lot of them come to the Toller Show just because it's the Toller Show for the Toller Club. So, like, yes. Riker's brother... did qualify for Crufts but didn't participate in Crufts. Doesn't really do much other showing, but does come to the Toller Show.
Fair enough.
I'm slightly mardy about, because it's the first opportunity that Riker has to qualify for Crufts next year. Having said that, we weren't going to try. Well, we were always going to do this, but now it's like, I can totally qualify for Crufts for 2025. Even though it's on a Saturday and the traffic's really rubbish. But bearing in mind...
Yeah.
Go on. Sorry, what?
I was going to say, so you can cross...
I'm going to punctuate this by asking how your running went in the wet the other week.
Oh, Stephen.
Why did you do it, man?
Oh, mate.
Pack my armbands or anything.
I
when Nike Air can actually be considered a flotation device.
Yeah, I got my bronze swimming badge for that. Like, in all honesty, it was horrendous. Yeah, I've expurged that memory out of my mind. That was horrendous. And that's about as far as I will. It was the last cross country of the year, thankfully, and after the first couple of hundred meters I was like, oh, it's not too bad, this is great, and then all of a sudden it got into like a really boggy patch of this playing field and I felt something really cold and slimy up going up my leg, and it was the mud going over my boot, and I thought, oh great, I've got six and a half miles more of this.
Oh no.
And it was like, oh fantastic. And then like another 2 miles, like this is on like we actually did three, I think, laps of this course. And halfway round, I was like, oh, this is all right, this is fine, it's okay, you know, maybe I'll get over it. Rain's still pouring. And then going through this like really narrow stretch of like track sort of thing in this country park, I was like, this mud smells a bit weird.
Oh, God.
This mud smells a bit weird. What is this? Had realised that the farmer had just taken all of his sheep off this field, hadn't he? So we're just traipsing through all of this as well. I was like, oh, I'm rethinking my life. Like, massively rethinking my life.
You need to undertake a drier sport, sir.
This is why predominantly I normally do road running. Meep, meep. as it were, and do cross country in the winter, and I really don't like it. But yeah, so that's what I do.
Oh dear.
But for you though, Crufts, more importantly.
Why? Because inside.
Dry. It was a dry Crufts.
It was a dry Crufts. No, really cool. We got there super early to sort of get him settled and everything. Yeah, he was ace. He went on quite early. Just did really, really well, and is the fourth best puppy in the country.
So, out of all the puppies?
Out of all the taller puppies.
Oh.
Yeah, which is still pretty, you know, it's still a thing.
That's still good. That yeah, is really, still really awesome good.
For his first ever attempt. So, you know, it's...
Because I was watching Crufts on the Friday, and I was watching it intently for...
You wouldn't have seen us.
That's what I mean. I was really disappointed. I got halfway through it, and I was like, well, they're not going to show it because they've got these, dogs or something like that. I was like, oh, great.
Prancing with dogs. Yeah, it's not a thing. It's not like Dances with Wolves. That's a very different... It's a very good film, I believe. So basically, the Kennel Club is very good insofar as, yes, you get streamed the whole day from the main arena and the whole, on a separate stream, the whole day from the obedience ring, which was in the hall next to us. But they don't do much like a... because it's so big. So basically, I think it takes up halls. Hall 1 is the main arena. Then you've got 2, 3, 4, and 5. So it's actually bigger than the Autosport show, I think.
I didn't realise how big Crufts was, because it's like 5 halls.
Yeah, it's massive.
It's actually
5 halls, and I just thought of it again, because I was wrong. So the main arena that they use, I think, for Autosport International is the main arena for Crufts, and then you have 5 halls.
And all the different things as well that they don't even show. They're like all the trade and all this and the other, and it's like it is huge. And I thought, fair play.
It's an experience. It's definitely an experience. And it was very busy.
Is this now maybe the first or second Crufts like out of the plague, if that makes sense, where everyone is now back quote unquote to normal?
So 22 they did one. 23 was the first like fully normal one, I think. 22 they were like we'll do it, but we're limiting the number of people in the main arena, and can you all sit so far apart, blah blah blah, blah, I think. And I think it was done a bit different. So last year when we went for the first time, I think was the first like quote unquote normal one. And this year was just normal again, but it was so big. Steph went touring, i.e. shopping, a couple of times, and even she went for like a couple, an hour or so at a time, and even she didn't see everything. So the number of times I'm gonna be really bad, so I can't remember. I don't think you've No, you and I haven't done the Autosport show together, have we? I went with Stan.
No.
I
don't think we have.
No. ASI. That's not a thing at you. That's like ASI. No. ASI hasn't been good for years. It just hasn't. I remember sort of like I went. Obviously, I went on the trade days for a few years because Tora. And you sort of walk around, and you kind of like you can do it pretty quickly. And then you go into live action arena stuff, and then you come out, and then you kind of do another walk around, and they go,
"Well, that's it. I'm done.
Go home. Maybe a bit bored now, you know."
That was the first time I did it as well, and we did it on the Saturday, and I was like,
"Yeah,
I've gone around 3 times. What more can I do?"
The very first time I went was probably one of the years when it was at its best, which was 1999, and it was back when they used to do F1 launches there. Of course, guess who was launching when I was there?
BAR.
BAR.
Oh, with the split, what a guess.
Yeah, with the split, with the two separate liveries. It was, So that was quite cool. And I know you sort of get like the, they still like, I know like M Sport launch, you know, launched this year's rally livery sort of thing. But the cars that's there is a show car. The actual car's actually in Monte Carlo about to start the rally stage. It's kind of like, it's not really the same.
Yeah.
And there's so, this, it was a really good event before so much motorsport was actually happening that early in the year. And they've kind of just gone, nope, we're not going to change our date. We're not changing our date, irrespective of the fact it's the same day as a Dubai 24-hour.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The problem is that all these things used to be, like, motorsport used to happen in March.
Yeah.
And went all the way to, like, October, really,
I mean,
the latest.
The earliest bit was the Monte Carlo Rally, which was, like, the end of January.
Yeah, and then Dakar as well, some things like that. But there was none of this, really, like, how international races have gone to like the Middle East and this, that, and the other. Yes, you had like Dubai 24 since like early 2000s, but there was not anything really. You had to wait, like there was Daytona in January and then Sebring, and there was a massive gap. So everyone was waiting till March to go to like British touring cars or Alton Park for Easter weekend and things like that. And so all the launches and all the, oh, this series is looking good this year. Oh, this is cool. Oh, you know, getting all your flyers and all your stuff and seeing all the cars made a proper difference. But now it's just all international now, isn't it? Like, you know, you could just, like, I didn't even know, and I don't think hardly anyone probably knew, that the Sepang 12 Hours was on this weekend. I missed that. I didn't know. Did you even know there was a 12-hour race in Sepang with GT3 cars?
Apart from outside of MotoGP, I didn't even know that Sepang still really did anything. So it's
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But one thing I am watching this year, and I will be watching it at its broadcast time if I can, is Super GT this year.
I've made 100%.
I've made a promise to myself that I'm going to watch Super GT.
Yeah.
Because some of those cars look cool as hell this year.
Oh, what? You mean the Civic GT500?
Exactly. Yes. I think that looks so cool.
Yes. I never honestly would have thought that a Civic would look good in a Super GT set, you know, body kit. But, oh, wow, that's a thing. Especially in the art delivery. It's
just awesome. Super GT is just like the best thing ever, and it needs more broadcasting, and it needs more, like, what you call it. I mean, their Instagram is really good, so
yeah.
Either way, that's a tangent.
Yeah, that's a very good one. We've done very well for tangent. We've done well for sideways news. Sport related, so it's not entirely, you know.
It's a tan or a gent?
A tanned gent. The only way is Essex. Anyone from Cardiff. I can say that because I used to live there.
Yep, so did I. Oh, yes.
Otherwise known as the Gavin Henson look.
Yeah, you just walk through Queen Street and you're like, what is that?
In fact, you could walk through Queen Street now. I never used to be able to do that when I was there. You could do that. It was cars and everything.
Well, there weren't any mo when I was there four years ago.
Hang on a minute. Queen Street. Is that the one that goes up to the castle, or the one that's along from the castle that goes down to towards the uni?
It's the one that you've got the road to the castle.
Does it go down to the station?
What, Cardiff Queen Street?
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Yes, it is.
So, because you know the really long pedestrianised bit that has the castle at one end and...
Yes. Yeah.
A road at the other.
Yeah.
My uncle, when he was there, and that was still an actual road when he went to Cardiff University, for their rag week, basically scaled it in full mountain gear, climbing on their hands and knees. sat at base camp halfway up the street. It's not steep street, ladies and gentlemen. It's completely flat, but it was the sort of thing that students did in the 70s, apparently.
That's quite funny, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But no, Queen Street was still open to traffic when I was there. So it was a bit of a shock when I went there for one of the first internationals I went to at the Principality. And it was all sort of like, oh, hang on a minute, you've got to drive down here. Best not.
It's just like you're sat now, still like, oh, your road atlas is going, yep, down there.
No, luckily, I still know a few sneaky places to park, so. Pays to have local knowledge. Sim racing. Yes. We're just going to start with 20 minutes into the show, ladies and gentlemen. Must be a new record. Must start with a massive congratulations to Lawrence de Sosver and Paul Tatona, which I certainly watched a good portion of, which considering the massive Crofts hangover we were all suffering, this is a thing. 23,505 euros raised. To support real sim racers. Absolutely massive. I say the prizes they were giving out were just absolutely nuts. Race rigs, Ace Tech kit. It was just awesome. Some of the guests he had on there were epic too. So, fantastic production, wonderfully made, a really good cause, and just shows what can be done when you really, really want to. He's already said that it's not happening next year because he doesn't, well, for multiple reasons, and I kind of understand, when you set this kind of thing up, it can take a lot out of you, especially if you, and then to try and then do it again with the expectation of what it was like the year before.
Yeah.
The second year is never always, the sequel, shall we say, is never always quite as good as the original. So I can totally understand where he's coming from. But I do hope that he does continue, think about setting up other endurers within his community, because I think it's awesome and he does it really, really well. So congratulations, Lawrence, from all of us at Simcast. Well done. So that was good. Do you want to talk about what's the next bit of news? I've lost my screen. Oh, should we do... let's talk about rigs. Because I think rigs is good.
Oh, this is the rival to Red Bull that we had the other month.
Yes. So Red Bull, apparently Alpine had done one as well, which I completely missed. Alpine did one back in February that was on F1 Authentics, which is just cheeky. We obviously talked about the Red Bull sim, which I think one came with the full nose and front wing and stuff, and the other didn't. I'm going to do the full name because Aston Martin Aramco Cognizant F1 team have launched the Aston Martin Aramco Cognizant F1 team AMR24 simulator. And, well, it's the front half of a car, isn't it? Ish.
It is basically the front half of your car, yeah.
It's tidied up a bit, so you haven't got all the sharp, jagged edges which could heavily lacerate a more junior sim race. And last thing you want is to grate your child as they exit the vehicle.
Grate your child. Turn them into cheese.
Yes. Sorry. Sim racing, it's not for kids. So you have the full version that has the front wing on it. I still don't understand why you need
it. So when you know where to position your car, clearly.
I was actually thinking it's a really, really awesome place to hang your socks on the, in lieu of a washing line.
Yeah.
The other thing that's a bit weird is having... So it's got a monitor on a stand mounted just ahead. So it's just ahead of the cockpit opening where the halo mounts to the monocoque. So it's got one of those lovely curved screens that I have never ever used in my life. But it has a halo, which I'm... Without being a bit rude, and definitely thinking about myself here, probably limits the, should we say, girth of person who could possibly utilise this marvellous facility.
I mean, I struggled getting into a Formula Ford car.
What?
Bearing in mind. Genuinely.
Bear in mind, there's nothing of you. You are basically a human.
Yeah, but I do distinctively remember trying to get into a Formula Ford car and realising that actually it requires a particular way to origami yourself into this sort of car. And I do also distinctively remember at uni there wasn't a lot of room in my Sports 2000 that we were racing. And that was a radical sized car. And that had a bit of not much room, but some more room.
I don't think
I could fit in that reliably.
What? So I'm actually astounded because when I was at Base Performance and I used their single, I went from the GT1, which I struggled to extricate myself from because there's no easy way of getting out of a low slung GT car that has a roll cage on the side of it without basically just stop dropping and rolling out of it.
Yeah, do you do that with that video of the McLaren doing the pit stop and the guy just gets hoisted out?
Fundamentally, yeah. I was holding a conversation to try and detract from the fact that I was making an absolute horlicks of it. And yeah, I went into their single-seater simulator to do some Formula E practice. And I actually got in it really easily. And the only reason I struggled was because the pedal box had obviously been set for short ass beforehand. And I needed to have pressed the button to send it down the pedal box so I could actually get in. But I actually got in and out of that way easier because I just watched too many videos of people getting in and out of single seats. I would hurt myself getting in and out of something with a halo on it unless I could literally be lowered into it on a small crane. But anyway, it's cool. It's there. It's a thing that you can get from F1 Authentics.
It is. You can put it next to your Red Bull one and the Alpine one that clearly will never work because it's Alpine, so it would just have 404 error all over the
No, you'd just be 21st in a 20 car championship.
No, in Alpine you'll be 21st in a 3 car championship because you'll be there with your Red Bull and your Aston Martin with your two friends.
It hasn't turned up because the truck it's in broke down. Got caught by the police. It's all made from carbon fiber as well, so you know it's produced by Memento Exclusives, and it goes through basically very similar process as F1 cars are when they're produced. But it really does. It looks really good. I'm not gonna lie. It does.
It does look really cool.
It's a little bizarre, but there is the price, which is.
I'm going to say it's another £100,000 again, is it?
I mean...
Or is there inflation that's hit this one?
There's a tab I can click on to find out from the actual website. So there is a price on the article that we've based this on.
It's going to be £120,000.
That's annoying. The Lance Stroll one is exactly the same price as the Fernando Alonso one. I've expected it to be at least £80,000 cheaper.
No, because you've got daddy's money to put in that one.
Oh, yeah. That's a very good point.
It's dispatched in 12 weeks.
It's handmade. So there's no other way about it. It's £143,000. Hang on a minute. There's a weird comma in that. €143,113.95 plus taxes and shipping.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what's really good though? You can have this on Klarna. So you can pay in 30 days.
God. Got 30 days to win the lottery. That is, it's very cool, don't get me wrong. And it is cool, but I, yeah, no, it's...
Oh,
no.
Right, moving on.
I wouldn't mind, but it heavily limits what you can play on it as well, because with the Halo on there, you're not going to do like Le Mans Ultimate or anything, are you? Because Halo.
The Halo will just annoy me. I'll just take a hacksaw to it.
That being said, I know F1 Authentics do, air quotes, genuine Halos that you can like hang on your wall. And I actually do quite like that.
Could you not have like a, so you know like people have, so you got your like sim rig and whatever. So yeah. Can't you just have like, as like a hat, you have like a rig that comes down that looks like a halo.
A hat.
Yeah. And it comes across, you have like an arm across and then it comes like through your
vision. I mean, why don't you just get a very, like a piece of loo roll, wear a cap and sellotape the loo roll to the very front of the peak of the cap.
See, it's so much cheaper, isn't it? It was so much better in our day doing simulation.
Ladies and gentlemen, we provide these Blue Peter style options so that you don't have to.
Exactly. So you couldn't afford to have the Tracy Island years ago. Now you can do this as well.
Yes. But I may not be able to afford to have a Halo, but I do own plenty of hats.
There you go. So you can just retrofit one of your hats.
Oh,
and you're
dear.
Already halfway there.
Oh,
right,
dear.
So out of loo roll and some duct tape, we're going to make a halo for
your sim rig. Yeah. Is your Tinky Winky a bit dipsy?
Always.
But I do know that you are La La for Poe. Terrible pun coming in. Because this is the new, actually quite exciting news that the Poe Grand Prix Street Circuit is coming to Race Room next week.
And this was put off.
It was. I can't remember.
I distinctively remember this being a thing, and we were disappointed that it was being put back for some reason.
So when they did a load of work towards the tail end of last year on their tire modelling and various other physics related stuff. And that meant that Poe got put back a little bit in order to allow full accommodation of those more important, I suppose, quality of life bits and bobs. But I think it's safe to say, having looked at the images of what the circuit looks like, the wait has been worth it. It looks absolutely stunning.
It does look cool.
It's a very cool
I love Poe.
And I'm sure Poe loves you too.
I know, I'm sure it does. So much so, I was actually really disappointed that they postponed the Poe Grand Prix this year. The street circuit weekend they have there.
Weren't they meant to be doing an endurance race there? Am I making that up?
No, I think there was meant to be a 6-hour race as well.
Oh my.
I think it was six or something.
Which is the exact cars that would be left at the end of Versus, but.
Yeah. So next year, 2025, I'm going to go to Poe. I'm going to visit Poe.
Do it. A big smiling child in the sky. Yes. It does. I mean, it really, really does look cool. And of course, anyone who's ever watched WTCC will know the infamous event where the safety car managed to come out randomly and crash the car that was leading. Which was bizarre. I think single seaters around here is going to be as terrifying as it is at Macau. So,
yeah, actually, they have Formula 3 around there, if I remember correctly. Well, they used to.
I think they certainly used to. Yeah. So in 22 they did the WTCR, the electric touring cars. Is it ET? No. Is it ETCR?
Yes, it is called. ETCR. Yeah.
And French Formula 4. And it has the same... This is the bit I like. It's almost like Monaco, really, isn't it? It's basically the exact same layout since 1935. Which is just... It's so cool. I'm really pleased. That's a really, really nice addition to what is a... In this modern day and age, a much underrated and frequently forgotten sim, which is actually very much worth your time. Particularly if you're into touring cars. Because it's
I think it's one of the only places you can get touring cars properly, like as a grid.
I mean, obviously it's got
and have the content and the circuits and the package is what I'm trying to say.
I'm not being funny. You can do a very substantial run through DTM history because I think it's got DTM going back all the way to the sort of early 90s.
It's a good time for DTM, really cool.
So, you know, and obviously, you know, they've added a lot of Porsches in there recently, and they've got the more contemporary DTM stuff in there too. So you've got, you know, you've got things like the newer 911 GT3R, you know, the updated AMG GT3 Evo, the last gen version of the Audi, the 298 Ferrari, the BMW M4 GT3. So that, you know, there's lots and lots of content and some tracks in there that you just won't get anywhere else, and cars that you won't get anywhere else. You know, it's got truck racing in there, for goodness sake. It's
I'd love to try truck racing on a sim. I'd be like driving a landship.
I had the European Truck Racing Championship game on. I want to say I think I've got it on Xbox. I don't think it's on my. I'm not far enough Steam to have a look, but pretty sure it's on there. And it's a thing that you could do, and I can understand why the Marshals stand well back.
Yeah, because Armco doesn't really... Well, gravel traps and Armco doesn't really stop it.
No, it does not. Did you see much of Sebring?
I saw bits of Sebring. Like, the middle-ish part of it for a few hours.
Yeah, a bit like you, I watched it. But what it did do is maybe a little sad that I wasn't... doing shed tons of laps on Le Mans Ultimate. But then it may be less sad because... That. Well, it's good. It's actually quite good.
You're actually enjoying Le Mans Ultimate now,
I actually am.
Can you just repeat that for all the listeners, considering all the skepticism?
But the difference is the skepticism wasn't exactly unfounded.
Oh, 100%. We had grounds to be skepticism, but can we just repeat that for all the listeners so it's all online?
Very good. And it will get better. So, and that's my main hope. It actually is supported now. But more interestingly, so I think we always used to say that the unofficial racing title of IMSA, the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, to give it its full title. Was Forza for a long time, for the casual view. Now, obviously, iRacing has done extremely well in upping its contemporary content for its IMSA series. But yet, more can still be done, and I very much believe that more is being done to, you know, fill in some of the gaps that it still has.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second time that Riser has done this now. Completely out of left field, they've come in and just gone, "Oh, hi everybody! Remember us? The one that blindsided you at the end of 2023 by releasing what is probably one of the best endurance racing packs of the moment. Remember us? Yeah. Oh, by the way, we've got an official partnership with IMSA now, and we're going to basically." Bring the vast majority of the IMSA calendar and its cars to you over the next 6 months or so. Just chucking that out there for you.
Because that is really cool, because the endurance pack they had... Well, the endurance pack was all the WEC stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they had Le Mans come out of it and all that and the other. And I'm pretty sure we said, if I remember, oh, it'd be really good if they had like all the American stuff, and which means then you get a whole collective of stuff, all like the DPIs and the LMDHs and all that and the other. And here it is. Huzzah. Way. So I think we set that off and we made that happen, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, completely. 100% us. What I am very heartened to see is that it's just how committed they are to getting it done as well. They've obviously, much as with the endurance pack, they're not saying it's going to happen immediately, but it is going to come in chunks over the course of 2024, which I think makes much more sense, because it means that each stage can be properly fine-tuned and made to work properly, and it also means that as they do it, they can add the little updates and stuff that makes it work even better. Which is always a good thing. We're fully expecting tracks like Road Atlanta. I think Daytona's already in it anyway. But Sebring as well, because I think Sebring actually isn't in as many sim racing titles officially as I think you think it is.
It's not actually.
It's lacking from, yeah. And yet it's one of the best, personally, I think it's one of the best circuits in the world. It's so challenging.
I've got some really good memories around Sebring.
Yeah, and it's very hard to get it right as well. So I think that's really, it's a very, very, very positive move from them. I think it's great from IMSA to have branched out slightly. This doesn't obviously diminish anything that they're doing with iRacing, but I think having AMS2 there as well is an extra string to their bow. Can you imagine what it's going to be like going around like a historic version of Sebring?
Yeah, you get lost around an airfield.
How like, cool!
You genuinely
will
get lost.
Yeah, but that would be really, really cool.
I'd love to do, because Automa Blister is good at these sort of like historic packs and things like that.
Yes, very.
I'd really love to do, like, for example, the same, like endurance racing that. Yeah, online endurance racing that everyone does with three drivers, whatever. But I'd love to do it from like the 1980s Le Mans or the 1980s Sebring and almost on the other or 1990s. And because Automa Blister is a lot better in its way of like car management as well, so you can actually brake your car pretty easily. Imagine that with a car that isn't per se bulletproof like today's endurance cars are. So you have to go like 5 seconds a lap slower than actually you wanted to, because you actually want to get past 18 hours or 6 hours in an endurance race, for example.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just really looking forward. I think AMS Spring is a bit of a different animal to some of the other, like, you know, the ones that we regularly talk about on here, and I think it's
difficult.
It is, but it's I played the first one,
and it nearly broke my wrists when I when I crashed. Like, if I hadn't have let go of that steering wheel, I probably wouldn't have like hands. So yeah, the Automa Blister does scare me with the way they do their physics and things like that, because they are very good at it.
Yeah, it's so good. It's one of those mentioned VR later on as well, but it's one of those games that actually works really well for VR. I was like a 1992 Williams around Imola as the sun was starting to, you know, drop over the horizon. That beautiful sort of rose coloured light going around in a 1992 Williams. with VR, with a decent headset, with the volume cranked up, was
you
quite
actually,
an experience.
You actually felt like you were there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And of course, the period accurate version of the circuit, too, which makes it even better. So a lot of this that we've been talking about is coming in version 1.6, which they look to be aiming to come out during the summer of 2024. But before that, they have a smaller one, version V1.5.6 coming, which is going to have some a little bit of version 1.6 in there, but a lot of other things, quality of life improvements, graphical improvements as well. Making more use of 3D trees, just making, you know, changing some of the environmental shaders and that kind of thing, just making everything look a little bit more realistic, and also a lot of work on materials from inside car internals and that kind of thing. Again, just making everything just that little bit more realistic, which again, if you're in VR, is going to be quite impressive. They're continually working on the physics. Whilst yeah. the 1.6 is going to be quite as big as 1.5, it's still going to be quite hefty on tire work and that kind of thing, just to make the cars handle a little bit more, as one might expect. Stock Car Pro Series 2024, all those liveries and stuff is going to make it. Again, it's probably the only game that's got that in it. The Barrichello still does it. That's quite cool. We've got an update to Formula Ultimate Gen 2 as well, so that car's getting a big update to make it sort of a bit more closer to the current vehicles as well. So it's all looking very positive, and of course with the spring sale on at Steam as well, it's probably a really good time to jump on and grab it. For a pretty decent price as well, if you want to get hold of it. I think the game and all the DLCs are up to 50% off at the moment. So if you want to go give it a bash and see what you think, then do crack on. What next have we got up, mate?
I think we should go to some tech.
What tech would you like to look at, sir?
The ImSim racing rig.
Oh, Gata.
Yeah, Gata.
Gata? So it looks as if ImSim are producing a motion rig now called Gata.
That looks ridiculously expensive.
Yes.
And looking it's going to be expensive.
The pricing is unknown. It's the sort of thing where if you have to ask, you cannot afford it.
Yeah, and you know it's going to be expensive where the first thing it says about is motion platform of 3 degrees of freedom. Mm. And you're like, oh, okay. That's...
Yeah, G-Box G5 actuators, butt kickers are in there as well. An integrated PC system, perhaps unsurprising as it's a throw you all over the place sort of one. Audio coming from the seat as well. High quality racing seat in there. Talento sim pedals. I've not heard of those. No steering wheel included though. Tut, 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 tut. You can run it with triples. Or I think the image on there actually shows it with like a G9 Odyssey type curved screen, ultra wide. Which is also very in vogue, shall we say. Available in a variety of colours.
I should hope so.
Yes. The version that was that's been on display is the Mazda, and I do love this colour, I have to say, the Soul Red Mazda colour, but it is also endorsed by Aston Martin, Lamborghini, Ferrari and McLaren. So that means you can get it in green, scary green, red, and probably orange.
I was going to wonder where you were going with the two Aston Martin and Lamborghini. What colour? When you said the first one, I was like, green, dark green, or light.
Yeah. So price? Don't ask. We don't know. Expensive.
I mean, that's what like things like Klarna and PayPal and things like that for. Because if you just tap it, you don't need to know.
Oh dear. But yes. So I know what to expect at your pad at any time soon then.
Yeah. it will be something bolted to a table and Steve, like, what is on your head? Oh, it's a
toilet roll. It's a toilet roll on my cap.
It's my halo. What are you on about?
It's my halo, yeah. I fit it with my halo. Take it everywhere. For that constant in F1 cockpit experience.
Exactly. When I'm at the office. Walking around,
walking around Morrison's. Experience life through the world of an F1 driver.
There with my trolley going around, like, taking the inside line down the dairy aisle.
Please let some people actually attempt this and take photos and share them with us on our social media, because it would be brilliant.
That would be amazing as well. And it needs like dubbing over with like Murray Walker quotes. It's just like, as you overtake her, he's going for first.
God. Setting up a picnic blanket. He's off, out onto the grass. God, staying in the strange world of sim racing in a way. Superbikes have or are launching a new game called V Rider. I'm sure there's some very disgusting puns there, but we shall gloss over that immediately. quickly. It is a VR only title.
And unlike
some of the basically, if you enjoy motion sickness, try this. Of note is it's not being produced by Milestone, that has done like some of the more recent SBK games. It's being produced by VRAL or VRAL Games, and created by Funny Tales Gaming, who, in terms of SBK experience, have produced 3 mobile games.
Okay. I can tell.
Okay. I can as well.
It looks really 2D.
It looks really okay.
Yeah. I guess the problem is, right, is that we're getting really used to all of this, like, massive resolutions and stuff like that. And then when we see something that looks like it came out in 2005, we're a bit like, oh well, that looks horrendous. But the problem is it looks very okay,
yeah,
from the pictures, and that's the only thing I can, there doesn't look like there's much in the way of surface texture on that track.
No, I'm sure,
or the gravel,
or the bikes.
All the bikes, they look very, very smooth.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine. I know there are some certain graphical limitations to what is possible with VR. In order to experience VR well, you need to have a very, very, very good headset. Like, is it still Valve, or is it called Steam Deck or something like that now? But I know that one's very, very good, and I think Samsung does a very, very good VR headset as well. The PlayStation one obviously is very good, but I don't think you can use that on PC. But anyway, so yes, so I wanted to mention it because A, it's a new bike game, but also it was unique insofar as I'm not aware of any other ways of getting horrendous motion sickness willingly on a VR headset in such a manner. So good luck anyone who wants to try it, but I'm sure it'll be great, and we will see how that goes. Yes. And in the last 5 minutes of the show, we should probably... in fact, I want to mention Golden Lap, because I think this is really cool. So, if, like me, you enjoyed the abject weirdness that was Art of Rally, which is incredibly, for those who don't know, is very or is a very stylized version of a rallying game based in the Group B era of the 80s, which is... It sounds really weird, but trust me, it is awesome and very much worth your time. That developer has decided, for reasons only known to themselves, to produce an F1 strategy game called Golden Lap, which is based in the 70s. So there's a lot of sepia, there's a lot of stylized maps going on that make it look very 70s. It is, in fact, very retro.
It's very in a niche, that is for sure.
I quite like it.
I think it's quite cool.
I love the fact there is an extremely tongue-in-cheek one team there that is called Chapman. And an even more tongue-in-cheek one, which is in the exact same font, that is called April.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Go back a month. It's so cool. I really like it. It's a very, very cool thing that they've done there. And it, knowing them, it will be done very, very well and on a much and produced in a much more interesting way than perhaps F1 Manager is. Though obviously remains to be seen what F1 Manager 2024 is actually going to be like. Obviously we know you can finally actually have your own team, but hey ho, it's a bit late now. There's a reason why I'm falling out of love with it.
I quite like the image that's given on this is the one that clearly isn't, but is Silverstone. And it's the 1971 Mutton Chop Qualifier. It's your race.
Oh, yes.
Like, that's absolutely brilliant. I think that's amazing. I quite like this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be quite something. Trying to make sure that we've sort of covered off all the big stuff. I think we kind of have, which is awesome. I'm quite impressed that we might manage to do it. We haven't quite mentioned, and I'm just very quickly doing the last couple of minutes, obviously the first patch for the rain release in iRacing has now come out, which has done some small updates. And actually one of them is very, very good, where they've basically, the spray had been so bad that you couldn't even see the rain lights and brake lights of the car in front at all, even when they were literally at the end of your bonnet. So they've played with the shaders a bit, and they've played with the intensity of the lights, and they've made that work. But and actually the whole effect looks way better now.
I think it does, yeah. I think because you can just see some rear lights in the spray, I think it's a bit more
it's gone from poo inducing to just plain scary now.
How
it should be.
And I know you can't please everyone, but there are some people going, oh well, you wouldn't be able to see anything in that thing. I was like, I'd actually just much rather race, yeah. To be honest.
I really, really, really want to try it because it does look very good. I know they've started playing now that it's there, they can start sort of like playing with it, because obviously we know that rain effects on a set of course is probably the absolute benchmark of how water interfacing with a windshield should look. In various different scenarios, that has to be the level. And I think iRacing already are kind of like 75% there, and they're just now starting to sort of tweak things here and there to sort of make it even more perfect. I know there's a lot of work that needs to be done to make sure that it doesn't blow people's CPUs up, or you know, send the FPS down a drain. No pun intended. But it's great to see that they've already got their hands on this, and they're pushing forward with bits and bobs.
Mm. They've also, though, just quickly, looking through the patch updates, just a really small little patch that I thought was quite a nice little touch. Do you remember the camera angles at Le Mans on the Porsche 963 at night, and all you saw was just turbojet, basically, and it was all blue and everything? They've now put that in the game.
Oh, cool.
Which I think is amazing. So the backfire effects of the Porsche 963 are now hot blue. And I think that's just a really nice touch.
It's the little things that are important.
It is, because now when you see at night or whatever, and you go in at Mach 50 or whatever that car does, it will now just be sort of like a DeLorean going in the night.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, there we go. And that was another show, ladies and gentlemen. We've actually managed to squeeze quite a lot of news into the tail end of the show, and made some late 90s British television children's entertainment puns as well, which I thought was quite something.
We do push the boundaries of what's possible, don't we?
We really do, it's true. Certainly push the boundaries of what's considered humour, and not, in fact, dad jokes. Once again, congratulations to Lawrence DeSobser and his team for an amazing Potatona event the other week. You know, massive congrats on that. That's really, really cool. We will see you in a couple of weeks' time. I've been Matt Hunter. Steve, I'm assuming, has dried out. We will see you in not too distant. Team USA back next week, of course. Have a fantastic couple of weeks. Bye.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.